Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Maryland Risk Management Education Podcast. My name is Paul Geringer, and I am the Extension Legal Specialist here in the Department of Ag and Resource Economics at the University of Maryland. And today we're back with a new episode looking at a recent Court of Special Appeals decision here out of Maryland, looking at zoning and planning as it comes to a proposed wind farm in Western Maryland. And what that exactly means. So we'll go through the process and where we're actually at in this, looking at the two processes that folks could actually take when they're looking at developing some of these projects, depending on size. So this recent decision by the Maryland Court of Special Appeals highlights the differences that proposed power generation facilities can bring before the Maryland Public Service Commission, or PSC. For example, a proposed power generation facility could consider applying for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, a CPCN, or for an exemption from the CPCN process. The decision in Dan's Mountain Wind Force LLC versus Shaw highlights the differences between these two processes, which will be vital to understand as renewable energy development in the state only increases. So let's give a little bit of background. For over a decade, Dan's Mountain Wind Force LLC, or Windforce, has been trying to construct 17 wind turbines and a substation on Dan's Mountain in Allegheny County. In 2016, the PSC rejected the Windforce's application for a CPCN for not being in the public interest. In 2020, Windforce applied to the PSC seeking an exemption from the CPCN process, which was granted. Concerned neighbors, however, challenged granting this exemption in circuit court for Baltimore City. The circuit court reversed PSC's decision, denying the CPCN exemption, basically. Windforce applied to the Court of Special Appeals, and that's where we're at now with this. And that's what we're going to talk about, that decision. So let's talk first about this CPCN permit and then the exemption from the permit. The court's opinion highlights the differences between the two processes. To obtain a CPCN, an applicant must provide a detailed description of the proposed power generation facility and a statement detailing how the facility will comply with all environmental laws, potential impacts the facility will have on the state's natural resources, socioeconomic effects of the proposed facility, description of the environmental justice issues affected by the facility, explanation of efforts to engage the public and encourage public participation, and any condemnation required. And I should note here, condemnation would be a legal process of eminent domain exercised by a government entity or utility to take control of the property, and the owner would be paid reasonable compensation for the property. The CPCN process allows the state to approve the construction of a power generation facility. At the same time, a proposed facility could seek a CPCN exemption. That removes the state from overseeing the construction and requires the facility to go through the county for approval. The CPCN exemption process is simplified for certain facilities, including wind power generation facilities. With this, the PSC must determine if the proposed CPCN process exemption would ensure the safety and reliability of the electrical system, requires the owners of the facility to notify PSC within 2 weeks of exempting power, or within 2 weeks before exporting power, and confirms that PSC can conduct a review and approval expeditiously. If PSC agrees and the facility meets the exemption requirements, then that transfers responsibility for regulatory approval to the county the facility will be located in. So now we get to the Court of Special Appeals decision. On appeal, the neighbors argue basically that the CPCN exemption in 2016 precluded the PSC from granting the 2020 CPCN exemption. The neighbors argue that either res judicata or collateral estoppel prevent granting the application for the exemption. Res judicata prevents the same parties from litigating a second lawsuit on the same claims or claims arising from a series of transactions that led to the first lawsuit. It's based on the principle that parties should not be allowed to relitigate the same issues once a judgment has been issued. In order to show res judicata as a defense, it requires the parties to show these following elements. There are three elements. The parties to the second action are the same as the parties from the first action. Both the first and second actions present the same claims or cause of action, and the judgment rendered was final on the merits by a court of competent jurisdiction in the first action. The court on appeal has to determine if the 2020 CPCN exemption is the same claim as the 2016 CPCN application. On appeal, Windforce argued that the claims are not the same since each follows a different process. The neighbors argue that the exemption process is essentially the same, but an abbreviated process of the CPCN application process. To the neighbors, both the process require the same evidence and involve Windforce's continued efforts to get the proposed project approved. As discussed earlier with the CPCN process, the PSC preempts local governments and regulates siting and construction of the wind generating facility, or the power generating facility. During that process, PSC will consider siting and additional regulatory decisions needed to construct and complete a project. The PSC is just determining if the power plant, but with the other one, the PSC is determining if the power plant qualifies for the exemption. If approved, the local government takes over siting and construction to the project. To the court, these are two separate processes with separate claims, and each process has different requirements. Therefore, the court rules in this case, res judicata does not apply. The court next turns to the neighbors' claims that the claims that the exemption should be barred by collateral estoppel. Collateral estoppel prevents parties from relitigating an issue of fact or law in a different legal action. Collateral estoppel is a defense requiring the raising party, in this case the neighbors, to show these five elements. The issue is identical to the previously one litigated. The prior proceeding determined the issue. With the issue, the current determination was a critical and necessary part of the prior determination. The prior decision was final and valid, and the party whom estoppel is being asserted against had a full and fair opportunity to litigate the issue during the original case. In this case, all the parties are only focused in on the first element. The issue is identical and previous to the previously one litigated. Windforce argues that the issues in the CPCN exemption are different from those in the original application. The neighbors argue that PSC found the project would have no public benefit, so PSC cannot reverse course and grant the exemption. The issue is that in the end, the public benefit is not required in the exemption process. The neighbors argued that PSC did not have sufficient evidence to grant the evidence based on the denial of the application originally in 2016. In reviewing the record, the court found that the PSC had demonstrated Windforce's exemption request met the statutory requirements. Therefore, PSC was not required to overcome a prior finding that the application was not in the public interest. Accordingly, the court reversed the lower court's decision. As we mentioned earlier, Windforce has been working on developing this site as a wind farm for over a decade. This decision will allow Windforce to continue working through the county permitting process to build the facility. Thank you again for listening to this episode. I will include in some thank yous to some of the grant funding that kind of takes place to help research like this take place here as well. So you can look at that in the show notes. If you have any questions, you can email me at lgoering@umd.edu, or you can find me on Twitter or Instagram. Send me a message at @AgLawPaul. Again, you may have found this podcast through the Maryland State Bar Legal Lab. If you didn't find it through that legal lab, go check out the link at the bottom in the show notes to, you know, find out more about some of the podcasts from Maryland State Bar Association members out there. So you can learn a little bit more about the legal system and legal issues in the state from a whole host of topics and subject matters covered from some of the great attorneys that are part of the Maryland State Bar Association. Thank you again for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.